On the Kick to Kick podcast today, we once again open our mailbag. We then tackle question of the day and try and come up with a name for where we record. We look at world history from the year 1899, and then we get stuck into the season of 1899, the last of the 20th century. We might even catch up with our old friends Dick Condon and Ivo Krapp. All this and more coming up after our song.
It's the history of football we knows about, and we want to expand what we know. We'll become such intelligent gentry with every kick to kick show. Beginning in the time 1870, right through to the modern day. Tune in for Timmy Coops and the Kazman to hear what they all have to say.
All right, welcome to the Kick to Kick podcast.
Hello, everybody.
My name is Tim. To, I guess, both my left and my right is the Kazman, because it is just myself and the Kazman in here tonight.
It is just us valiantly pushing on without Charlie.
Yeah, Coops couldn't actually be here today, unfortunately, but we are going to push on without him.
Our thoughts are with you, Charlie.
And it's a good year as well, so he's gonna miss this one. But I'm going to start with the mailbag, Kaz. Quite a light mailbag today. I've only got one little piece of mail to share.
So do send us in some questions, anything, comments. We're happy to hear it.
Yeah. This one reads, "Hi, Kick to Kickers. Enjoying the show, but come on, I'm a Richmond fan. Just start talking about the Tigers already. Exactly. Regards, Simone from Brooklyn." Firstly, thank you for writing into us, Simone.
Thank you.
And that's actually a really good point. Why haven't we spoken about the Tigers or the Hawks or teams like that? Simply because they're not in the league yet. At the moment, it's a nice pure league. Richmond,
North Melbourne.
I think eight or nine years away from talking about the Tigers, and then about 23 or 4 episodes away from talking about the Hawks and North Melbourne and the Bulldogs.
Mm.
But unfortunately, if you are a Eagles or Power or
Footscray,
Fremantle,
even, you know, they're in the VFA.
No, but we've got 25 episodes till we get to them. But if you're like a Dockers supporter, or all those Suns and Giants supporters out there, you've got a bit of time to wait until we start talking about you.
Yeah.
So hang in there. We'll get to the Tigers eventually, Simone.
Yes, looking forward to that too.
Not far off. Just stick with us for a few more episodes and we will eventually start talking about them. And I'd also like to give a quick shout-out to Kev from Dubai. Any shout-outs for you, Kaz?
No. Sorry. I just want to put a shout-out there to... who did I say I'd love to have a guest as a guest?
Brian Lake.
Yeah, actually, you know what? Because what we're looking at, 1899. We're not going to give anything away yet, but yeah, he was a fantastic backman who won the Norm Smith. And I love the way he goes about it. It'd be great to have him on.
Brian Lake.
Yeah. And what was the other... Sorry, I've actually completely forgotten off the top of my head. Can we edit this out?
Where's the bell? He said it. It only took, what, 4 minutes? 3 minutes?
That's right.
He said it.
The person I was thinking of was Kevin Sheedy. I don't know how that slipped my mind, but... yeah, Kevin Sheedy, please.
We'll email
please.
Him.
We should.
I emailed the AFL last week as well.
Oh, yeah.
To tell them about our podcast. Haven't heard back from them yet, but AFL, if you're listening, get in contact with us. We'd love to hear from you, AFL. All right. Let's move on then to our question of the day. And our question of the day was, we need to come up with a name for where we record.
So it's a place where we come in and we do the podcast, and we can't call it what it is. It's just not exciting enough.
No, so we wanted to come up with a nice punny name that kind of gave it some resonance. So should we go?
I've got one. That
should we go idea for idea?
Yeah. I got wind of your one, so I'm pretty confident that all mine will make yours sound absolutely even better. So I'm not really worried that mine are actually going to be accepted.
Okay.
But I'll start off. My first thing that I thought of was. Because it's some sort of recording studio, we could call it Shabby Road, just like Abbey Road.
Yeah.
But Shabby Road.
Yeah.
All right.
All right, well, I went with Kick to Kick Cave, like a bit of a Batman Bat Cave.
That is genuinely good. Okay. Ling Ling Studios for Cameron Ling. Because Sing Sing Studios up the road.
Yeah.
Hmm.
What about, got this?
Good effort.
The Kicky Mart.
Who needs the Cookie Mart?
Imagine the jingle we could write.
That's very catchy. It should be that. Why can't it be that?
Have you got any more?
No, I haven't.
I'm still going.
Oh, please.
All right, I got the fort. Ready? The Fortress of Kictitude.
Okay.
Castle Kick.
Keep them coming.
Kicky Had Stadium. And my favorite. This is my favorite. The Melbourne Kick It Ground.
I love all of them. Some of them are really specific to a recording sort of setup.
Yeah.
I thought that was pretty good. Nice puns.
Do we want to shortlist any of those?
Why don't we make it, a listener vote?
A Twitter poll or something?
Yeah, it'd be like Kicky McKickface, though. That's the only problem.
Yeah, that's true. Can't be Kicky McKickface.
It has to be a poll from the suggestions. All right, well, anyway.
We could put something up on our Instagram, couldn't we?
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll see. All right.
I like the Kick Cave, though. I think we should push ahead with that one.
The Kick to Kick Cave. All right, well, let's start talking about a bit of history, about what happened in the year 1899. Mm. Things that happened in 1899. So it was the last year of the 20th century.
Yeah.
It was also the year that aspirin was patented.
That's right. Actually, that was making me think. I want to give a shout out to someone I know, a total legend called Felix Hoffman. He's someone I know.
Friend of the show?
Yeah. No, he's not. He's never listened to the
show. Potential probably, friend of the show?
Probably not old enough to even know where to find the show on the podcast. But anyway, Felix Hoffman, if he does intend to listen to it.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah.
Back to history.
That was the guy who patented it.
Yeah. Oh, he patented aspirin. Mm,
yeah.
So he's incredibly old because he'd be over 100.
Well, there's another guy I know called the same thing.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so the Victoria...
I didn't explain that properly, did I?
No.
Going well.
The Victoria and Albert Museum in London begins being built. Have you ever been to London?
Significant. No.
Oh, it's a great museum.
Okay, I got to go there.
The Second Boer War begins.
Yes.
In which Australia was involved and sent troops off, some of them being footballers.
Yes. I've got something on that. Winston Churchill, he was a war correspondent during the Second Boer War.
Didn't he get captured by the Boers?
Good question. Should I click the link and explore that while you're quickly...
If you want. The Philippines declared war on the USA.
Mm. Music lovers out there, Scott Joplin's Maple Leaf Rag was registered for copyright, so it's obviously out and about that time. So, yeah, that's a pretty well-known song as far as piano music goes.
Other song I found was Hello My Baby by the Tin Pan Alley. You know that one from Looney Tunes? Hello, my baby. Hello, my honey. Hello, my ragtime girl.
So there you go. Well, Maple Leaf Rag was a ragtime song as well, so yes. There you go. Because it's a good feeling of 1899. The first symphony by Jean... I've never thought about how to say that first name. Sibelius. That's a very, very amazing piece of music, that one.
Yes. Mm. The first jukebox was made.
Oh, I had that as well.
Did you?
Yeah. Al Capone was born.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I've got a few borns, actually.
Yeah, I usually leave those for Charlie, but now we'll fill those in because he's not here.
Yes.
Dot the Kangaroo, the famous Australian character Dot the Kangaroo, was first published.
Oh, okay.
And the leaders of six of the Australian colonies met to discuss the federation, in which Queensland voted yes. And Australia's population was 3,715,000.
That's a lot of people.
That's Australia.
Yeah.
That's less than Melbourne now. Isn't Melbourne 4 million?
Yeah. It's not. Yeah. Spread them out across the whole country. It's
not
much.
People born. Who have you got?
I've got Duke Ellington. So continuing the music theme here. Fantastic. Yep. Arranger of
computer. Humphrey Bogart.
Oh. Ernest Hemingway.
Oh, Charlie's going to be disappointed he missed it. Charlie's a big Ernest Hemingway fan. He's going to be disappointed he missed talking about him.
That seems about right.
Alfred Hitchcock.
Oh, that's my next one. That's it for me, I think.
Yeah? Fred Astaire.
Oh.
Let me see. Yeah.
I've got one here. Everyone's favourite scientist, Nikolai Tesla.
Oh, was he born?
Moves to Colorado. Which is where like he does all these huge experiments with giant zappy things and everything.
Yeah.
High voltage, high frequency experiments to be more precise.
Nice.
Yeah, that sounds.
That's probably all the ones I can find.
Oh, what?
There's heaps of people born obviously that year, but no one else is really standing out to me in this list.
G. Marconi successfully transmits a radio signal across the English Channel.
Yeah.
Pretty important little invention there. And I actually picked up on this one. America's first juvenile court was established in Chicago.
First juvenile court.
Juvie.
in Chicago, the same year that Al Capone was born. Oh, so something poetic in that?
There certainly is. It's not an accident. And on the patent thing, the lawnmower was patented.
Oh, the lawnmower. So still, still Australia is not federated. We're still a colony as well of England at this stage.
Mm, which means we can still use the term champion of the colony.
It does.
Which is a personal favourite of mine.
All right, well, let's start talking about the season proper then. So, big changes that happened this season. The biggest one was that the VFL reduced the teams from 20 players down to 18 players.
Yeah, very big change there.
Yeah, same rules were down with the interchange, where they could just come on and off as they went.
Yeah, no, I think it was something like 4 followers down to 2. So, maybe something to do with congestion?
Yeah, that would make sense, wouldn't it?
Mm.
But still, we're like 30 years away from when they actually introduced interchange players. That doesn't happen for a long time.
Mm.
Most teams were training twice a week by this stage, on Thursday and Tuesday. Yeah.
Good one.
And just a little bit of football history, I guess, is that the SANFL introduced the McGarry Medal in 1899 for the fairest and most brilliant player, which is, you know, exactly what the Brownlow is, but this is... Mm. At this stage, we're just calling it the...
Champion of the Colony.
Yeah, I think we need a sound effect for that.
Yeah, I think I'll just...
Champion of the colony! Colony! Like a nice echoing one.
Ah, yes. Very big.
And one interesting piece of information that you found out was that the Melbourne mayor gave a lecture about violence and gambling, didn't he? About...
Most certainly.
Was it a visiting rugby team or...?
Yeah, well, this is from straight out of an article entitled Grovelling Mayor Lectures Aussies on Violence of Football. And should I actually just read this? It's
pretty... Oh, yeah, yep, or you can paraphrase, it's up to you.
Yeah, the Mayor of Melbourne talks to everybody about this, and it says, "It is something really appalling," he remarks, with the use of language, and really the only reason why people are going down to football is just to see the brutality. And he says they attend to either hoot or create trouble.
Hoot.
If you want to keep football clean, you must do away with the betting that exists. Which touches on something I would really like to find out more about. Now, the mayor's remark, seen as a prime example of forelock tugging. Now, I had to look that up, and it's something.
Tugging.
Yeah, it's something. Actually, I'm going to have to get back to you on that. But that's something we don't use obviously anymore. And before the noble English met with many cries of dissent from the audience of reception. Now, there was a guy called William Beazley who commented about this. Now, I actually looked him up. He was a predominant politician around Collingwood and has absolutely everything to do with the formation of Collingwood. And what is on their website, it talks about, you know, he's one of the biggest reasons why they became such a powerhouse, because it had a lot to do with creating Vic Park and... it being the centre of the town around there, and the whole thing of bringing football to Collingwood and having their own Collingwood team strengthening the community very, very successfully. Yeah, so...
So he was critical of what the mayor had said?
Yeah, he basically said...
the mayor's a fool?
At the VFL lunch for the visitors later, William Beazley, MLA... protested at the mayor's remarks. He said most footballers played a straightforward manly game, and that betting was most uncommon. And it really makes me think, like, how did they... Because they were talking about how they got the local area convinced to supply the money to do up the grounds good enough for these VFL games. VFA games. I think they got Vic Park ready before VFL.
Yeah, they would have.
Yeah, and, you know, I think it was something like £500 initially to do the upgrades. So... How do people convince them? And they use the word lobbying, you know. So it's all tied up with that, and they've got to get the money from somewhere. And maybe saying, look, you know, the gate takings are going to mean this and this for profits around the local businesses. Maybe, I don't know.
But also the gambling, which is an issue now, and they're always talking about how many ads there are. I mean, it was an issue back then as well.
Yeah, and maybe, as I'm going to put it out there, I haven't thought this through, but maybe there was some gambling money involved, not officially though.
Oh, there are some scandals I've found out about as well that we can talk about in later episodes.
Scandal episode.
Gambling scandals and teams that were paid to roll over and things like that. It has happened.
Oh, I hate thinking about it, but it's out there. Mm. Okay.
Right, let's start talking about the 1899 season proper then. And we're going to do things a little bit differently this year.
Yeah, this episode, this year.
Yeah, we can say year. We've been going alphabetically through the team each season. We might mix that up a few times. We're going to do that in reverse ladder order this time.
I love how it builds towards the finals, though.
Yeah. So we're going to start talking about St Kilda.
St Kilda. 1899. No, of course. And there's unfortunately a shocking game involving Geelong in this season.
And we'll get to that very shortly. But round six, Kaz, if you look at the scores from round six, they came so close to their first win.
Oh,
they played Carlton. Scores were 4-5-29 to Carlton 4-7-31. But they were up at three-quarter time. Carlton kicked three goals to St Kilda's 1 point in the last quarter.
Oh, so they've come back.
So they must have thought they had it. They were so close. Yeah. They possibly were even celebrating, saying, "We've got it, our first win ever in the VFL," and then Carlton just pile on three goals.
That's exactly
to
right.
win the game.
Yeah, St Kilda have kicked four goals and they've stayed on that, obviously, until Carlton's come back at the end like that. Mm.
In round three, they played Collingwood in the first ever morning game, which was part of the Queen's Jubilee celebration. Game started actually at 10 a.m.
Yeah, I noticed that too. Fantastic.
But, of course, Collingwood won that game 87-18, so they lost by 69 points.
They're willing to try anything for St Kilda.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I wonder how many other morning games that we've had. Don't know.
Not
don't
many.
Have to use lights.
I haven't heard of any in my time.
Well, at least we tried it.
They had an average losing margin of 62.24 points throughout the season.
That's solid.
And they scored their lowest score and the league's lowest score ever in one of their finals. But do we want to save that for the finals? Or do we want to talk about that now?
I can see that.
So in round 14, they played Geelong and Geelong beat them 119-2.
Yeah.
But quick spoiler, Kaz, they score a worse score than that.
What could possibly be worse than just 2 points?
Kaz?
Well, I don't have to edit this out because I think it's 1 point. Now, is this the one that's during the season proper? Is that that game down in Corio where we've got...
No,
it's not that one.
No.
Oh, so it's the final that's in Corio. Because there's something like only 300 people show up for that game.
Yeah.
Is that the one?
Yeah, the sectional round three.
Ah, there you go.
Yeah.
Ah, okay. I've got a few little things about that.
Yeah.
So we've got a player here called Jim McShane who kicked something like 11 goals.
Yeah, he did. Do we want to talk about that now? Do we want to wait till Geelong?
Exactly. Yeah, we don't want to talk too much about Geelong during St Kilda.
But hang around because we'll talk about this again soon. So St Kilda finished 8th. With 0 wins, 14 losses, and a percentage of 28. So that now marks 48 losses in a row, 48 straight losses for St Kilda since joining the league.
Yeah, and it's 1966 where they win their first one, something like that. So we've got a long
67 more episodes until we talk about St Kilda's success, some real St Kilda success.
It's worth the wait.
It is, all you St Kilda fans. All right, let's move on to talk about Carlton, who again finished 7th.
Yes.
So for 3 years in a row, we've had Carlton and St Kilda finishing 7th and 8th. Again, they only beat St Kilda and South Melbourne, which were the same teams they beat the previous season.
Mm.
They had a new captain, who was Ernie Watson, who took over from William Stuckey. Mm. They brought in 10 new players as well for the season.
Yes, I did hear that, actually.
Yeah. They had their 14-year veteran, Peter Williams. I think he actually retired. Actually brought him back towards the end of the season, and he starred in their one non-St Kilda win.
That's right, yeah. And he hadn't played all year. Is this correct?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think he retired.
Pop in for the finals?
Yeah.
Final specialist. We always love a final specialist.
I played finals as well. I've got him playing here in round 8, but he must have stuck around after that.
Ah, cool.
In a game versus Fitzroy in round 14, did you read this, Kaz?
Mm.
The umpire paid 7 free kicks for the first 7 kicks of the game.
Mm.
So it must have been whistle,
typical
free kick. They kicked it, whistle, free kick, and that's how the first seven kicks, not goals, of the game were all from the umpire whistle. Fitzroy ended up winning that game by 23 points.
But it's usually only 5, but for some reason this game is. No, I'm just joking.
So Carlton finished 7th with 3 wins, 11 losses, and a percentage of 53.1%. We are ploughing through these today.
Yeah, but look, this is unlike Carlton, I was going to say. Wouldn't you say?
What do you mean? Oh, now Carlton. Well,
yeah. Oh, unlike that is Carlton.
This is unlike the Carlton of the 80s and 90s that were dominant and had wild supporters. And
that's right. So we are going to really get the feeling of when Carlton start winning, it's gonna be huge because of this sort of beginning like this.
But you look back through all the history, and every team has their time of success, but it's also the reverse as well. Every team also has their time at the bottom.
Yeah. Just apparently Melbourne's bottoms are a lot worse than everybody else's. No.
Well, hey, wait till we start talking about Hawthorn. Their bottoms were so low.
I actually read something that they actually, the clubs that were around there, you know, disbanded a little bit before they became an official team. There was all sorts of turmoil there before they actually became a proper team.
Hawthorn.
Yeah.
Well, we'll start talking about them. We got another 25 episodes or so till we talk about them, but.
Oh, that's going to be huge.
We can start preparing.
In.
Yeah. Mm. All right. So the next team to talk about is South Melbourne, who finished sixth on the ladder.
Absolutely. But of course, went on to be in the grand final.
They did.
And
spoiler.
I didn't say the grand final.
Interesting to note as well, there was two games in this season that they didn't score a goal.
Oh.
So round three, they played Essendon and only scored 9 points. And round eight, they played Carlton.
Yeah.
Carlton beat them and they only scored 5 points. And that's their lowest score ever. So actually this season, and I haven't missed it, I don't think, five different teams scored their lowest score in history. So this was South Melbourne's lowest score in history was 5 points against Carlton. So South Melbourne, all the Swans.
Hmm.
They had a five-match losing streak between round 7 and round 11. And look, that really didn't look like they had a great season.
No, that's right. It doesn't sound like they did.
Apart from Coughlin, one of their goal kickers, who came second in the league with kicking 27.
Well, I was just looking for that. They've obviously got that great full forward, but they're unable to get it done regularly.
No.
And I think it was in the grand final they had a lot of injured players.
Yeah.
And they only lost by 1 point, they must have been still pretty good. It was Charlie Coughlin came second in the league that year. That's right. Yeah.
But this brings me to the player that caught my eye, Kaz. Maybe we should come up with a little jingle for that we can play every time we do it.
Caught my eye. Okay.
Warwick Windridge Armstrong.
Big Warwick.
He was a large man, 6'3", and weighing 133 kilograms.
Well, is that true?
He weighed that at some stage. Yeah. I don't think while he was playing he weighed 133 kilos.
Like, I mean, you look at him, because we're looking at football, and we turn to the pictures of him, and you go, wait a sec.
But you got a picture of him.
Yeah, he came up. It's here.
Nice.
I'll find it.
But his nickname, the Big Ship.
Yeah.
Love his nickname.
Brayshaw, if you're listening, that sounds like a nickname you should definitely give to somebody.
The Big Ship.
The Big Ship.
He was in his playing days, when he only played two seasons. He was a slim utility. He was a ruckman, and he could regularly kick the ball 60 to 70 metres. In 1899, he kicked 14 goals in the 13 games he played, and five of those goals came in a final against St Kilda. However, the Big Ship wasn't known for his football. He was actually known for later in his life. He was the captain of the Australian cricket team. So from 1920 and 1921, he was the captain of the Australian team, which defeated the touring English team and beat them 5-0, so one of only five captains to lead an Ashes team that's beaten England in a whitewash. And we're currently in the middle of an Ashes series at the moment, so let's hope that happens again. But he was one of them. In a test career interrupted by the First World War, he scored 2,863 runs, which is an average of 38.68, including six centuries, and took 87 wickets. And he was, not too long ago, in the year 2000, he was inducted into the Cricket Hall of Fame for Australia.
Fantastic. So it's not specifically stats-related legendary status. He's just a great cricketer, and he's become captain.
Yeah, so he played football in 1899 and 1900, but then by 1902 he made his test debut against England at the MCG.
Oh. Legend. And he was in this grand final team. Not too much about his football, but either way, an Australian footballing legend.
Don't you love that a lot of the players here, like they're footballers and then they're cricketers, or they're store gift winners, or they're
absolutely
they're athletes in other ways as well. And it's not just football they're playing; it's lots of other things, which would never happen now. When would these professional footballers have time to go and do another sport?
That's right, be a barrister or something.
No,
like that,
a lot of them are banned. You can't, they can't go and surf or go skiing because it's too much risk.
Yeah,
the money the clubs put into them.
Yeah. Dick Condon probably probably could have turned his talents to definitely something after football.
Dick Condon. We'll get to Dick. Don't you worry. He's one of our favourites. All right, so that is South Melbourne, which we will definitely come back to. So they finished sixth with 5 wins and 9 losses, a percentage of 105.2%. Mm. If I'm going too fast, Kaz, feel free to jump in.
Most things do go too fast for me.
Next, we'll talk about the D's.
Ah, fantastic. Melbourne. The fabulous Fuchsias.
The fabulous Fuchsias. They seem to be more known as the Redlegs in these, like when I'm reading about them as well. It kind of says Redlegs, but
yeah,
Fuchsias is more of an interesting name.
Same with the Pivotonians in the Argus, a lot of the articles, there's a bit of mixture of both. I suppose it just depends on
cats and Pivotonians.
Yeah, well, you know what I mean. Like, yeah. There's these different names.
Nothing's really settled.
No.
Demons got off to a great start, though. They won their first 5 games.
Ah, oh, fantastic.
And in round 5, Kaz, look who they beat in round 5.
Okay, round 5, we're looking at Melbourne at 4-11-35, defeated Fitzroy.
Who were at that stage on a 14-game winning streak.
One of the really strong clubs, finally. Wow.
Well, the reigning premier who'd won 14 games in a row. Oh,
wow. It's a bit like that Adelaide win we had this season.
Yeah.
So
yeah, great morale-boosting win.
Maybe
they started to gel as a team. If you remember, like from the last few episodes as well, Melbourne have generally started well in most years and faded off. And unfortunately, that's kind of what happened here as well.
Mm.
They lost their last 7 games of the season.
That's right.
And
not great margins either. Not great kicking.
No. Like, and if you look in the sectional finals week 2, they scored their lowest score ever.
Ooh,
playing again against Fitzroy, so maybe Fitzroy wanted a bit of revenge.
Oh, that is so 0 goals, 2 points.
Yeah, to Fitzroy's 5-10-40. So
wow, they got smacked.
Pretty demoralising, isn't it?
Yeah, that demoralising.
And Demons' great goal kicker. Do you remember him from the last few episodes?
Yeah, Jack Leith.
Yeah, he had another good season.
Yes, absolutely.
He kicked, I think I've got 21 goals here.
Yeah, so that's what I've got here as well.
Yeah.
Great effort, mate.
Yeah, so Demons, legend. I think I'd be frustrated as a Demon supporter back then. Like, getting your hopes up nice and early and then dashing them again. It seems to be the theme they've got going on year after year here.
Yeah, I mean, we've got players like Fred McGuinness running around, who is acknowledged by lots of other players. I mean, good old Henry Ivo Crap mentioned him as well. And we can't seem to get it done in the finals and not that much in the season. And look, maybe it's one of those things where like the rest of the team's really gun for us. I don't know, maybe. I'm just trying to...
Because you're the oldest team, so they've all got it in for you. Who knows?
Maybe this is just what's going on in me coming out. Now.
So Demons finished 5th.
Yep.
8 wins, 6 losses, 136.7%.
Yeah. The last round of the season, we came close to South Melbourne as well.
7 points, yeah.
Yeah, that was a close one. And we're sort of flattening out in the middle there, not really dominant, like you said, not after a season like that.
No, but it went 5 wins in a row, then a loss, then 2 more wins, then a loss, then a win, and then 7 losses in a row.
Mm. And we're late here, just a preview for next week, the lowly Melbourne lifts flag from Fitzroy. So we obviously haven't got a great name.
Lowly Melbourne.
Lowly Melbourne. We have been cellar dwellers before. Okay.
Yeah. So that's the bottom 4. Before we start talking about the top 4, let's quickly talk about the State of Origin.
Ah, fantastic.
And I guess this is more State of Origin because instead of playing the Ballarat League, which sounded like Victoria was, the VFL was getting a bit of a rivalry with, I was enjoying reading about that.
Yeah.
They're now playing South Australia. So the South Australian team, the Crow Eaters, came across to play Victoria at the MCG in July.
Mm-hmm.
And did you find out why they were called the Crow Eaters? Did you look it up?
Well, basically, it was over in South Australia that everyone else in the colony said that they ate crows, the crow meat,
which came from the mining days, from the goldfield days.
Oh, I actually didn't get that far into it, but
possibly.
But also, I think crow was a term for the butchers used for tripe, which is obviously not very. Not a very popular dish.
No.
So kind of an endearing, but also a little bit of a slandering name there.
So do you want to tell us a little bit about the game?
Well, I've got something here, and it mentions old mate Peter Burns. Now, I think I read somewhere that Peter Burns was pretty much the closest thing we had in 1899 to an AFL superstar. It was the first player to get to 300 games for Geelong.
Yeah.
And I think that is saying something. you know, with the times. He played in this game. The veteran, Peter Burns, captained Victoria against South Australia at the MCG. Conditions were atrocious after continual morning rain, but a hearty band of 8,500 barrackers saw Victoria win in an interesting game, 8-10, 58 to 3-6-24. The league guaranteed a substantial amount to the South Australians for expenses in coming to Victoria, and the gate was £163.
I think that's good.
I think so.
Yeah.
Collingwood players, what were they getting again?
That was £20 for that one match against Fitzroy.
Oh, mate. So that seems like they're getting quite a big amount just for that game.
Yeah.
Now, I had his name up here. N. Clark was the store gift winner that year, and he played for...
South Australia?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
One innovation the Crowheaders tried was a hometown interpretation of the bouncing the ball rule. On a wet day in Adelaide, they would tap or throw it to themselves as they ran alongside instead of touching the ball on the ground.
Well, like bouncing it up to themselves?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. It's like balancing an egg, I'm imagining. You sort of have to focus. Yeah, exactly. How many times?
That sounds a bit silly.
Yeah, but it says in there, definitively, in one short sentence, not in Melbourne.
Yeah.
So I think that pretty much outlines it.
All right, well, let's get back to the season proper then. We've had our little State of Origin interlude. And if you remember, State of Origin used to happen in the middle of the season as well. It was always a nice little break.
Oh, yeah.
Back in those days.
And why can't they bring it back?
Oh, no. We say it again. All right, let's get to the same olds.
Okay, same olds.
Now, if you remember last episode, I spoke about the Dawson Whiskey Company donating a trophy. Mm. And I speculated it was probably for the Premier, but it actually wasn't. The Dawson Whiskey Trophy was actually given to the minor Premier.
Mm.
So I think it might have been a trophy for the Essendon finishing on top of the ladder in 1898.
Mm.
So at the very start of the season, they got that trophy, but I guess it'd be a bit of a bittersweet trophy because they didn't actually win the grand final.
No. Exactly.
No, and there is actually a trophy for the, like, whoever finishes on top. It's called the McLellan Trophy.
Ah.
And it still exists, but what's the point of finishing on top, really?
No.
If you don't win that premiership at the end of the year, there's
no one remembers
who finished on top.
Mm-hmm. Is this back in the time where maybe some significance was given to that because the final system was a bit questionable?
Yeah, and because they'd come from it in the VFA where the Premier was whoever finished on top. So,
you're quite right. Yeah.
Now, Albert Thurgood, Kaz.
Yes, I'm bringing this
up. Now, if you remember last year in 1898, he was not allowed to play for Essendon. He'd come back from playing over in WA and working on the goldfields and tried to get back into the Essendon team.
Yeah.
But the league blocked him. They said he had to sit out until the next year.
Now, this guy, acknowledged as probably one of the greatest players ever, and especially in this era.
Yep.
So this is a big deal.
Yeah, so he only managed one game this season. And that was in round 9 against, of all teams, St Kilda. He played St Kilda, and he kicked a goal. But the interesting thing I found, and I think you did as well, Kaz, was that pre-game he was doing some kicking practice or exhibitioning, and he managed to place kick a ball 97.8 metres.
That's right, a massive marvel. But so you're telling me that wasn't actually in a game?
No, that was just warm-up.
Okay. That's kind of cool.
Unless they were doing like a longest kick competition before the game.
Maybe. I was just thinking Stevie J would probably get in there and do some trick shots before the game. Competition.
Yeah, it might have been that.
Oh, I don't know.
Maybe he was just trying to warm the crowd up because he hadn't played in over a year.
They get out there and see the mighty man.
Now, round 1 was the grand final rematch, Essendon versus Fitzroy.
You think
Essendon would want to come out for some revenge. But unfortunately, Essendon scored their lowest score in the history of the club.
That is not good.
No, so Fitzroy beat Essendon 6-11-47 to Essendon 9 points. 9 points.
I'm sorry to hear that.
I mean, it's no Melbourne or St Kilda's lowly scores, but still, no score, 9 points. No major. Arthur Cleghorn was the Essendon goal kicker at that stage. He kicked 5 goals against St Kilda in one of the sectional finals. And I might talk about this other bit of information maybe after we get to the finals. So
can I talk about Thurgood's
bio
here?
Yeah.
But he kicks 25 goals in the 1900 season. So we save it for then, or do we?
Yeah, if it's stuff that happens in the future, let's save that.
Yeah, because the bio doesn't specify much about 1899. So
okay. Right, let's move on. So Essendon finished fourth, 9 wins, 5 losses, a percentage of 140.2, so still a pretty healthy percentage. Finishing third was Collingwood.
I mentioned Beasley before. There's not much more I can say about him, but he is a local politician who's helped create this club.
Yep.
It's fantastic. Become one of the strongest clubs. So it does. Do we read into that and do we say, look, it takes something like this to create something that has momentum enough, or is it something about the geography of Vic Park, whatever it is?
Well, I still haven't won anything at this stage.
No, exactly. I mean, they do win two in the future, but they're building. They've got Dick Condon.
They're running a tight ship.
Yeah, exactly.
So interesting to note that your boy Dick Condon replaced Proudfoot as the captain halfway through the season.
Oh,
and I was reading
risky.
About the captain before that, Proudfoot. He was a police officer and was stationed up in Kyneton, I think, and had to constantly travel down every weekend to play. And eventually he found it too much. So at this stage, I think he gave the captaincy up halfway through the season, gave it to Condon, so Condon could start leading them.
Yeah, we've got Condon in the change rooms talking about football, I think, is what's mentioned. So maybe reluctantly handing it over to somebody who's already fulfilling a role like that.
Yeah.
What was his name again?
Proudfoot.
Proudfoot is a mountain of a man.
Well, he was the one who protected the umpire from the police, from the crowd that game in the VFA we talked about.
Yeah, and they said he would have been brutally bashed if it wasn't for him.
Yeah, yeah. So is this a good time to do our Dick Watch?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, Dick Condon.
I'm not quite ready for Dick Watch.
No,
right,
I'll talk a little bit more.
Okay, go start us off.
They won 8 games in a row for the second... 1898, they actually won 9 in a row. This season, they won 8 in a row, so they go on some
pretty good
sprees here, Collingwood.
Yeah, thereabouts.
And seem to get on rolls.
Mm.
They also, in round 11, they played against South Melbourne and initiated a bit of a flood defence all day to try and hang on. It wasn't pretty, but they managed to win that game by 3 points against South Melbourne.
Mm.
So, yeah, 39-36 that one was.
Mm. Now, there was a note, obviously... I love this stuff about the football. Somebody was complaining about the ball and they wanted to swap it there because they said the ball was greasy.
Oh, I did read about this as well.
Yeah, and so Dick Condon basically said no, and they kept playing.
That was Alex Sloan from Fitzroy.
Yes, that's right. They wanted a fresh football at halftime.
Round 13.
That's right. And the old one was greasy. Not muddy, not soggy, not laden with whatever else is on the football field.
And remember, there was a big rivalry between Fitzroy and Collingwood as well.
It's anything. So it's a bit like the captain count. It's one of those little things you pull out of the hat.
It's like, nah, we're not changing.
Yeah, player count, I mean.
I like little stuff like that. So Collingwood finished third on the ladder with 10 wins, 4 losses and 135.3%.
Massive.
So that gets us to Geelong, who finished second. They had lots of fans. There's a bit of an article I saw about lots of fans travelling from places like Horsham and Hamilton and Stawell to come and watch. So I guess Geelong being further away from Melbourne became that rural team that other towns kind of followed because they could relate to them.
Yeah, and I think they're sort of saying that this team represented their view, their push into football.
Yeah,
all these other that side of the state. Yeah.
So Teddy Rankin was back again. So he led the goal kicking, I think, 2 years prior, or maybe he was quite a good player 2 years prior. He missed the 1898 season.
Yeah.
But was back for this season.
Yep. A great rover, Teddy Rankin.
He was. Their star Pete Burns, who you spoke about already, Kaz.
Yeah.
He captained Victoria as well.
Absolutely.
Which we should have mentioned. In round 3, can you cast your eyes to the scores in round? Geelong scoring round 3, Kaz. They played Fitzroy.
We have here Geelong. 0 goals, 8 points, defeated by Fitzroy. 4 goals, 8 points. That is not
so that's
good.
Their lowest score in history.
Oh,
8 points.
Wow. That's a significant thing.
Yeah. So,
dude.
So the interesting thing is, three of the teams that scored their lowest scores ever were against Fitzroy, Melbourne, Essendon, and then Geelong.
Fitzroy handing out the building.
Yeah, or just their defence must have been miserly.
No, that's right.
The Cats kicked a then record score in round 14 of 16-23-119 to St Kilda's 2 points, but would then go on to break that as well when we talk about finals very shortly.
Yeah.
After round 13, they had a percentage of 147.13. But in that final round, when they beat St Kilda, their percentage actually jumped up to 177.2.
Wow.
So it jumped, what's that, almost 30%.
And this is a blight on the game.
30%. So if you look at their percentage, it's actually better than the team that finished on top.
Yep.
So you're right. St Kilda is, at the moment, they're just leaking goals. They don't seem competitive.
Yep. And talk now about them unbalancing the competition and why they're in there. So it's a problem.
It is.
It's good for the teams who play them, though.
Yeah, it is. If you look on your fixture and you see, St Kilda's next, you really could take it easy. You could rest a few of your stars. You could go out and have a few drinks the night before, or you could take it really easy because you'd pretty much beat them with your hand tied behind your back. So Geelong finished second, 10 wins, 4 losses, 177.2 percentage, which was the best in the league that year.
Yep.
Then on top of the ladder was Fitzroy, who were the reigning premiers. They won their first 4 games in a row to make it 14, if you include the previous season, 14 in a row. But then were stopped by Melbourne, obviously, Kaz. Mighty D's.
Round 5.
Yep. They were 2 games clear on top after 12 rounds. Lost to Collingwood in round 13, but then bounced back to beat Carlton to finish on top.
Yep.
It was also the year they brought out, I heard they were singing that song about the Grace Brothers.
Yeah.
Which I think you might have sung in episode 1.
Yeah, it's a good time to bring this up.
Do you have it?
I do have it. I'm going to take a second to find it, so I do not mess it up.
That's all right. And there's also some interesting information about Jack Monahan.
Yeah.
That about his that's in the finals as well, so we'll talk about that very shortly. Some funny interaction with him and a member of the crowd.
Here we go. This is a song, right? Other clubs may have their stars, but Fitzroy have their aces. Other clubs may put on airs, but Fitzroy have their graces.
Because they had Jim Grace and Mick Grace. If you were going to sing that, how would you sing it?
Jeez, I don't know. Probably set to an old timey song of the time. And what was the song we said at the start of the day? It was Hello, My Baby.
Yeah.
Maybe not. That was too new, too modern.
Can you do a ragtime version of it?
Could I? Singing ragtime is not the same as playing it.
No.
Do you want me to bust it out now?
No.
No, okay. I'll get the recorder out?
No.
Just a bit of shtick there. Now, there's quite a lot here about, obviously, we've got Mick Grace, the champion of the colony.
Colony.
Good one. Yeah, what else to say about him? As far as the game goes, nothing too much really to pick up there that season for Mick Grace. Obviously playing really well.
Just solid.
Solid, that's right.
His name didn't really pop up anywhere I read, but he was...
No.
Yeah.
No.
Undeniably champion of the colony.
That's right. They've got a lot of wins.
And if you remember, he was also the best player in the previous year's grand final.
Yeah.
So, at
the end of this season, Jim Grace retires.
Yeah. So you can't sing that Grace Brothers song anymore.
No, that's right. No, we still think it.
So end of this season, Fitzroy finished first with 11 wins, 7 losses, and a percentage of 153.3, which brings us to the finals.
Do you have a soundbite for finals?
No. I don't think you do.
No, I haven't used any soundbites. We should. No time to think.
We need to do some soundbites.
There's been no drawers.
No drawers.
Looking for the drawer.
And we didn't do the history soundbite either.
Give us some history.
Have you got a soundbite you can give us just cause?
Just cause, absolutely. Yeah, Let me just bring up the menu. Okay. Oh, yeah, there's one particular we haven't done, which was a personal favourite of mine. Now, I suppose we should get somebody to write in and see if they can tell us where this is from. You might know straight away. Here we go. Oh, no, wait.
That's the song.
That's it. No, we can't do that one.
Out of bounds. Yes. On the ball.
Interestingly, I realised that boundary umpires haven't been instituted in the game yet.
And, oh, really?
We could save it for that year that it comes up, but they don't actually throw it in.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll save it for that episode where they do-do.
Yeah, nice. Do-do.
And they get to say this mostly, though, still. Oh, wait. They did it again.
Out of bounds. On the ball.
Yeah, nice. So that gets us to the finals, and the finals are run exactly the same as the year before. So both teams are split into two pools. They play a 3-week round robin against all those other teams, and the two teams on top at the end of the season, at the end of those sectional finals, can play in a decider. If one of those teams is not the team that finished on top, the team that finished on top have the right to challenge.
Finals for everybody.
Finals for everyone.
Finals.
If you remember, the sectional finals from the first, from last season, from 1898, were quite boring. Very big blowouts.
Yes, one-sided.
But this year's finals were much more exciting.
Mm.
The first week we had Fitzroy defeating Carlton by 1 point at the Brunswick Street Oval.
Mm.
We also had Geelong beating South Melbourne. South Melbourne defeating Geelong in a huge upset by 3 points at the Cryo Oval.
Mm, that's right. And obviously South Melbourne had a huge win over St Kilda, but that's not that notable.
Yeah, and then the second week they weren't as close. That's when Melbourne scored their lowest score ever. So it all came down to the third week, really.
Yep.
And if you see there, Kaz, the sectional finals week three, the first game,
yep.
Carlton actually defeated Melbourne.
Yes, well done to them.
Their first non-St Kilda or South Melbourne win.
Oh, wow.
So Carlton 6-5-41 defeated Melbourne 2-4-16 at Princess Park for their first finals win and first non-St Kilda or South Melbourne win.
Right in the middle of the finals, it puts them in a really sweet place in the Section A ladder.
It gave them one win from three games.
Yeah.
Sorry. I mean, it put them ahead of Melbourne.
Yeah.
And that meant Melbourne hadn't won a game. That was, what did I say, 7 losses in a row? Mm.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, 7 losses in a row.
Yeah.
Collingwood were defeated by Fitzroy, so Fitzroy finished on top of their pool.
Yep.
South Melbourne defeated Essendon, and following the defeat, Essendon captain George Stuckey toasted the winners with a glass of wine.
Oh, fantastic game.
Good celebrating sportsmanship.
Exactly.
Also, I should mention that Fitzroy-Collingwood game, in the sectional match, Pat Hickey was attacked by Jack Monahan of Collingwood. His mum attacked Pat Hickey with an umbrella.
Yes, I read that, actually.
It's in one of those books, but...
Yeah.
She would be banned for life now for attacking a player, but
exactly.
But that would have been all. I love hearing stories like that.
So, just say it again. So, Tom Hickey is the Fitzroy.
Pat Hickey from Fitzroy.
Yeah, Pat Hickey. That's it. Yeah. Now he's quite obviously a very good player because we'll talk about the grand final in a second. But yeah, and he goes down the change rooms and he's completely fine.
Yeah.
Walks out of the change rooms with a giant smile on his face, with a crowd waiting for him outside of the Oval.
Yeah,
that's full on.
Yeah, it was like he was showboating a bit as well.
Yeah, yeah, maybe egged her on a bit.
Yeah,
I would put a bit of mayonnaise on that story.
Yes, but to be attacked by a player's mum, and if you were a player that sledged, you could sledge Jack Monahan there quite easily. You know, his mum's fighting his battles for him.
Yes, nice one.
The final match of the season was the one we've spoken a bit about. Geelong played St Kilda. If you remember the last time these two teams played in round 14, Geelong actually won by 117 points. Well, they did better here. So St Kilda, it was down in Cryo Oval, and I think only 300 people turned out, Kaz.
Yeah, that's what I read.
300 people to a game of football. That's ridiculous. Yeah. St Kilda had what they thought was their best team in for the season. They were primed. They were ready to avenge themselves from the last game they played. It started really well. They scored the first point of the game. And then it was all downhill from there. Geelong piled on 23 goals, 24, 162 to defeat St Kilda 1 point. And that is still, to this day, the lowest score ever. I mean, the only lower you can go is no score at all.
Yeah. It wasn't some sort of big match. It was this lowly...
Yeah. 1 point. So in that game, you were talking about... What was the player's name? Jim McShane?
Yeah. Yep. Jim McShane.
Yeah, so Jim McShane kicked their record 11 goals.
Mate, that's
in that
a good
game.
Ball. And that's right.
But I don't think he was a forward. I think he was a winger.
Yeah.
And ran forward. And he kicked, I think, 17 goals for the season. So 11 of them in that match.
Hmm. Geez, something's going on there because it goes also that he was the first player to reach double figures in a match in the first 18 season of the league competition. That table there, good. Thanks for that.
First 18.
Yeah, in the first 18 seasons. So it's obviously a very unusual occurrence for somebody to kick double figures, and let alone a winger too. Something's going on there.
Yeah.
Right,
so lowly St Kilda, one behind.
Mm-hmm.
So that meant because of South Melbourne's upset win over Geelong in the first sectional round of the finals, that South Melbourne finished on top of the Section B ladder and Fitzroy finished on top of the Section A ladder.
Hmm.
So the grand final would be Fitzroy versus South Melbourne. So let's go through the grand final a little bit, Kaz. So
sure.
Those notes I just gave you will sort of go toe for toe with those. So I'll go first, and then you've got, I think, number two.
Well, I can riff into the first quarter here.
Because I've got pregame.
Yes, awesome.
All right, so Junction Oval, if you remember the season before, they played the game there and the ground was in shocking condition.
Mm.
This year they kind of planned it. They planned that they were going to have the grand final at Junction Oval because it was cheaper there. They weren't charging as much to host it. But what happened was the rain was absolutely shocking. It prevented anything like a crowd, and only 4,823 people braved the elements and showed up in their umbrellas and overcoats.
Mm.
I think it might be the lowest grand final crowd ever as well.
Mm. That's what it seems like.
From the first bounce till the final bell, it was a battle between two earnest, strong teams, and the crowd entered into the excitement. And what it lacked in numbers, it made up for in enthusiasm.
Mm.
South Melbourne would have preferred a postponement, but St Kilda wanted to get the game. Fitzroy wanted to get the game over and would not consent.
Mm-hmm.
Late changes occurred for both teams, though, and out for Fitzroy were Keenan,
mm-hmm.
And in was Cleary, because Keenan arrived at the ground too late.
Gosh, so they intended to have
him. He just didn't show up.
I'm going to find out more about him.
But as Kaz said earlier, South were missing a lot of players. So Henley, Purdy, Police, Fraser and Ginnaret were all out.
Mm.
And one of the players, so Artie Henley, actually wrenched his knee in the warm-up. He wrenched his knee in the warm-up.
Sorry about that.
And not only missed the game, but never played again.
So he
does his knee in the warm-up of the grand final, and that's it for his career.
Yeah, and throw in the team winning by, sorry, losing by 1 point.
Yeah. All right, do you want to tell us about the first quarter, Kaz?
Okay, here we go. First quarter. As the players came out, it was raining steadily and the wind was blowing from the Elwood end, made the city goal their best to kick to. South Melbourne had first use of the wind and at once swooped down on their goal. Lamp, from a free kick, punted a goal. Jim Grace took a flying shot at an angle. So this is another play here. But to the disgust of his side, the ball hit the post. Also, Garbutt, Howson, Jenneret and Lamp. Soon had Fitzroy busy again, and Lamp, with a running shot, got the second goal. This is so great to actually imagine this. Fitzroy was fumbling a lot, and South was strongly in the lead at this stage. At quarter time, the score was 2-3-15. To 0-1.
So Fitzroy really on the back foot here.
Yeah.
So both teams came out scrambling at the start of the second quarter, and Alf McDougall took a hurried shot off the ground and it went through the goals, but Adamson pointed to the mark on the arm of his jumper where the ball touched it, and umpire Ivo Crap,
yeah,
noticed the touch too, and only a behind was scored.
All over it.
Need to make sure we do a quick crap watch as well. So we talk about, we got a little bit about Ivo Crap to talk about before the end of the show as well. Hickey was a brick wall for Fitzroy and crushed all South attacks in the second quarter. Twice the captain Sloan came racing down the ground, but behinds were scored. Pat Hickey led a rush, and Mick Grace with a long punt out of the ruck got Fitzroy's first goal. Free kicks were coming freely to Fitzroy on the St Kilda Road wing, but South Melbourne's tactics in kicking out were working in their favour. After a while, Mick Grace, by a very clever play, kicked it to Fontaine, and he put a nice punt through the second goal. And at halftime, Fitzroy led by a point. So made up for it in the second quarter to draw to take the lead.
Mm. And halftime entertainment?
Ha.
Bozo the Clown.
Was it?
No. Yeah. Sorry. I think it's some sort of vaudeville. Okay, right. Third quarter. Although Fitzroy were against the wind in the third quarter, they began first and Fontaine had a shot. South's Garbutt and James both scored behinds, and then Fitzroy, and then the Fitzroy backs working in the body forced the play back to the centre. And it was the Fitzroy back, Pat Hickey, was man of the match.
Yep.
Pretty sure.
Yeah, he was.
Colgan had a free kick in the front and scored South's third goal. Freeze in the 50 is always painful. He would have snapped a goal but for Jenkins, who took the risk of pushing him, but Crap saw the point, and Colgan got his kick and the goal.
Other Crap can't get much past him.
So who's the modern umpire you most
Razor Ray?
I don't know.
No?
Goldspink? Maybe, I don't know. That's who I'm imagining. Goldspink, we acknowledge, maybe has a prejudice against Melbourne. I'm just putting it out there. The rain stopped for a little at this stage, but soon began again. Howson was doing grand work on the wing, and time and again turned the rushes. Potter, Clark, and McDougall, however, got through, and the last two scores behinds. There was a great struggle in front of the south goal, and it looked like Fitzroy must score when Davidson, Howson, and Please relieved the pressure. Now, here we go. Drowen had a shot, but Trim, Davidson, and Jay O'Hara came racing away again, only to find Hickey in the way. It was grand football. Nicely said. Just as the quarter was ending, the wind increased, and a nasty drifting rain came on again. Oh, what's a modern-day rainy grand final? Can't even picture one of
them. 2002.
Ooh.
Collingwood, Brisbane.
Please got a behind just before the bell rang. Fitzroy, 2-6-18, South Melbourne, 3-7-25.
All right, so Fitzroy got some work to do.
Good work. Okay, here we go.
No, we'll get to that in a minute.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Fourth quarter. South Melbourne went off in the last quarter hard, but Hickey, who was doing tremendous work, had a shot and hit the post. Trying to clear through defence before South had realised what had happened, the Fitzroy Rover had whipped round in front and with a beautiful shot got the goal and put Fitzroy ahead by a point. Fontaine got another behind, and then Davidson, Please, and Ginnaret. Didn't I say Ginnaret was out?
Yeah, no, he was...
I must have got that wrong.
No, look, he's been named in the team. But yeah. Maybe there's something going on.
But his name keeps coming up.
Yeah.
Got the ball to Lamp, who had a shot. Mick Grace at the mark just touched the ball and turned it from its course, or it must have been a goal. So Mick Grace has pretty much saved the game here.
Oh, fantastic.
Undaunted, South came on again and again. Lamp had a shot, which Sloan marked in front. He made a fine run and passed to Drowen. He got the ball away and saved the game, and Fitzroy won by a point.
Oh, this is amazing. So I'm just going back to the wet weather thing. So is this causing a low-scoring, tough
Probably, but most of the scores here are pretty low anyway.
Summary here of the entire game.
Yep.
Hickey's performance was far ahead of anything in the match. I have never seen a man do more for his side. Nominally, he was a half-back. As a matter of fact, he was everywhere, forcing when forcing was needed, and defending when defence was required. He took all the bumps too. Sounds like a strong unit.
Here's the thing though, South Melbourne won that game, Fitzroy would have had the right to challenge because they finished on top of the ladder.
Exactly. And I'm sensing they would have, for sure.
Yeah, of course you would.
Yeah. Oh, I wonder when's the first challenge, because we haven't had one yet, have we?
No, that's a good question.
Yeah, coming up in one day sometime soon.
Right.
Okay, so Crap watch. Message for umpire, fails to find target. Now, this is either in the Argus or something, and I think one of the writer's names, we've got hecklers. Oh, no, it wasn't intended for us. The old boy is the nickname of the person who writes for either the Argus or the Australasian at this time. But they've all got nicknames. Markwell or something like that writes for the Argus.
Yeah.
Anyway, so July 15. Umpire Ivo Crap was in charge of today's match at Fitzroy, in which the Maroons lost 8-10-58 to 3-5-23 to Geelong. Observers noted that umpire Crap was strict but fair, and his performance would hardly have rated a mention, but for a curious incident involving a telegram boy. The lad ran onto the field bearing a telegram. He dodged among the players, clearly seeking someone in particular. But who? After a while, the boy left the field, apparently with his quest unsatisfied, and appeared in the press box, not because he couldn't find the umpire, but for another reason. The telegram was for Mr. J.J. Trait, the famous umpire, and the boy apparently believed that Mr. Trait was at the ground, but he must have been there. Unhappily for the telegram boy, Mr. Trait was elsewhere, and it was unknown why he was on the ground at that time.
This wasn't the grand final, though. This is just a random game.
No, exactly.
Just crap watch.
Yeah, crap watch comes in any old time, straight after the grand final.
Yeah.
So, just quickly, we've got Drowen pretty well. He ended up at, speaking of umpires, actually, Drowen, who played for Fitzroy at that time, ended up at Collingwood, and then he turned into an umpire and was actually a notable player there.
Oh.
I mentioned him a couple of weeks ago. Going back to... basically, there's this Fitzroy player. I thought I had something more on Pat Hickey, but we've talked about him enough already.
Yeah.
Jeff Moriarty was actually in that game down back as well, and he actually became Fitzroy's first coach. And this grand final was his last game. No challenge.
Yeah.
Jeff Moriarty? Yeah. Is he mentioned there somewhere in the team?
Yeah, I think I did mention him at some stage.
Yeah. Now, interestingly, he... this is one thing I'd love to talk about more if I ever find out about it on time for the podcast or not. Jeff was Jack Moriarty's father. Now, Jack Moriarty was... he kicked 662 goals, and we'll probably bring him up later. So there's some significance there for Jeff.
Yep.
Yeah. And yeah,
nice.
So there we go.
Well, that brings us to the end of 1899, the close of the 19th century.
19th? This is a bit morbid. 20th. Can I say
20th century?
Can I say one more thing about 19th. The captain for South Melbourne?
Yep. So 19th century.
It was a bit sad, but his 19th. Wife actually died that year, early
Who's
on
it?
The year. The captain, and his name was David Adamson, and he actually was troubled. He didn't. He was actually a depressed person. And later on, he kept playing quite a while, but he was the captain that day, so I thought that was something significant about him. Yeah.
All right, so let's just wrap up so far. So the leading goal kicker
Audible yawn.
Sorry. Leading goal kicker was Eddie James of Geelong with 31. The champion of the colony was Mick Grace of Fitzroy. The current highest score is Geelong's 23 goals, 162 scored in this season. The wooden spoon went to St Kilda again.
Yes.
And Pat Hickey of Fitzroy was best on ground in the grand final.
Solid.
And if we do a premiership tally, we have now Fitzroy on 2 and Essendon on 1.
Very good. Not long for Melbourne.
Nah.
So, looking forward to next week, Tim.
That brings us to the end of this episode. Just a quick preview. Next episode, we have a special guest. We have Mrs. Kazman coming on the show.
Ooh.
Is that what we call her, Mrs. Kazman?
When I see her, I'll let her know.
Okay. Awesome. Do you have are you taking us out again? Have you got a special way to end the show?
Yes, I certainly do.
What have we got today?
Have you got any other fun facts just quickly before I get this ready? anything we missed today?
Let me have a look.
For any of you who don't know, this little app I'm about to use is called Launchpad. I highly recommend it. It's free.
All right.
And it makes sounds like this. Oh, it's a slow one.
So, just to recap, you've done a recorder,
yeah,
and you did a song. The song wasn't bad, but we've asked you to go back because I don't know, it was loud.
Yeah, okay, cool.
I don't know if that's how we want to end the show. So, what do you got for us this week?
Well, this is going to be a little bit of technified.
Are you rapping?
Electro music.
Are you rapping?
Yeah, no. I actually don't even have the ability to rap badly. Or maybe I could try.
My name is Kazman and I'm here to set.
Okay, let's do it.
No, don't. No. What are you doing?
Okay, there's a sample here called Demon.
Okay.
I've got to turn it up a little bit. I'm sick of that beat now. Let's try another one. You've been listening to the Kick podcast, to Kick to Kick. It's no trick. And get it in your ears and it is sick.
This is rapping.
Okay, there we go. Now, that is probably definitely worse than a recorder, you have to admit.
Yeah, all right, so, all right. Well, your wife's on the next episode, so you got to lift your game.
We'll do some sort of duet.
Oh, yeah, if you can convince her. All right, thanks, everybody. We will see you on the next episode.
Signing off.
Yibbida yibbida.
You can contact Kick to Kick on email at kicktokickpodcast@gmail.com or add us on Instagram, which is @kicktokick_podcast. Or find us on Twitter, which is @kicktokickpod. And thanks for listening.